Good afternoon and welcome. Thanks for being with us. I'm Tom Hall. It's midday, and today we're going to talk about education. But before we begin that conversation, a word about the weather and conditions outside. Our news partner, the Baltimore Banner, reports that Baltimore and much of the surrounding region are under a code red air quality, meaning the air is unhealthy for all people. The Maryland Department of the Environment said Wednesday morning people should limit time outdoors and especially heavy exertion outdoors. Sensitive groups, including older adults, children, people with respiratory or other conditions, should avoid being outdoors as much as possible. The code red forecast is due to smoke coming down through the region from Canadian wildfires. It's making the sky hazy and filling the air with the scent of smoke. So if you must be outdoors for extended periods of time today, wearing a mask can help reduce irritation from the smoke that is in the air. According to airnow.gov, the air quality index in Baltimore is about 180. Anything above 100 is unsafe for sensitive groups. Above 150 is dangerous for everybody. An air quality index above 200 is considered very dangerous. So that's a courtesy of our friends at the Baltimore Banner. And now to focus our focus today, which is on education. Mohammed Chaudhry came to Maryland in 2021 after serving in leadership positions in Texas to become the Maryland Schools Superintendent. I interviewed Mr. Chaudhry on this program last summer, and we invited him back to the show to talk about important education issues. About a month ago, Mr. Chaudhry agreed, through his Deputy Director of Media Relations, to appear on Midday today for the hour. His staff asked for questions and a list of topics that I wanted to discuss. And most of the time, we don't send specific questions to guests prior to their appearances on our show. I have this policy for a variety of reasons, including the fact that I won't know what I will ask until I hear how a conversation proceeds. I do, however, often send a list of potential topics that I think will be of interest to listeners so that if a guest needs to assemble data and information, they'll have a chance to do that. On Monday afternoon, I sent a list of areas I hope to cover to Jenna Frick, Mr. Chaudhry's media relations person. Last night, Ms. Frick informed our producer, Taria Rogers, that Mr. Chaudhry did not want to speak about some of the topics that I had listed, and that he had decided not to appear on our program. So at 10:45 p.m. last night, Ms. Frick sent us a copy of correspondence that she'd had last month with a reporter for Maryland Matters, claiming that in sending her response to that reporter, she had already addressed the questions that she assumed I would ask. The State Board of Education is currently considering renewing Mr. Chaudhry's contract amid some criticism by former and current employees who have complained about the workplace culture at the Department of Education, as reported by several news outlets. Leaders of the board have voiced their support for extending Mr. Chaudhry's tenure. Others have called for his ouster. I spoke with Ms. Frick this morning. It appears that this was one of the topics Mr. Chaudhry did not want to talk about. The other concerned staffing shortages at the department. A report 2 weeks ago in the Baltimore Sun, 2 weeks after Mr. Chaudhry had accepted our invitation to be on the show, stated that an exodus of staff from the department led to the state having to return more than $850,000 in federal grants. I was looking forward to having Mr. Chaudhry offer his perspective on these and several other education-related matters, and if needed, to correct the record. But he has declined that opportunity. The invitation for him to join me here on Midday stands, and we hope that he understands that with all due respect, he will be asked to respond to a full range of issues with no restrictions. So our conversation on education today will instead be with two people who know the topic very, very well. Kalman Buzzy Hellerman is a former member of the Baltimore City School Board, a former Baltimore deputy mayor, a state secretary of human resources, and a member of the Kerwin Commission, whose recommendations led to the blueprint that is intended to dramatically improve the quality of education for students in our state. He's also the author of several books about education and a frequent presence in the media on the opinion pages. Buzzy Hedelman joins us here in Studio A. Buzzy, good to see you.
Thank you, Tom, for having me.
And Liz Bowie is a longtime education reporter who for many years covered that beat for the Baltimore Sun and who has for the past year or so provided excellent coverage for our news partner, the Baltimore Banner. And she joins us in the studio as well. Good to see you, Liz.
Good to see you, Tom.
And if you have questions, comments for our two very erudite and experienced guests, our number here at Midday, 410-662-8780. Our email is midday@wypr.org. So, Buzzy Hedelman, you wrote a piece in Maryland Matters a couple of weeks ago about sort of the pros and cons of extending Mr. Choudhury's contract. The State Board of Ed has got to figure that out sometime this summer. What's your take on his performance so far and the issues that the Board of Ed should consider as they think about this?
It's really a mini tragedy, because I was one of almost everyone who praised the appointment of Mr. Choudhury. I gave credit to the Hogan School Board for reaching out to somebody who wasn't traditional, so smart, with so much potential. But it has gone downhill since then. Unfortunately, Mr. Choudhury seems to have come up short in many things. You mentioned what the former employees call the toxic work environment, but that in some ways is the tip of the iceberg, because the State Department under Mr. Choudhury is not implementing the blueprint in a timely or effective way, and there are lots of reasons for that. A surprisingly lack of action. You know, Mr. Choudhury is superb at diving into data, but I haven't seen him hook many fish in terms of programs and initiatives. And so, and also at the same time, there is a growing rift with the Accountability and Implementation Board, which has ultimate governance over the blueprint. That's a very ominous development.
And Liz Bowie, universally, Mohammed Choudhury is thought to be a very, very smart guy. I mean, I've heard him described by many people as brilliant, an excellent ideas person, committed, passionate, and successful in many ways in these first couple of years. Is that your impression when you speak with him directly? I've only interviewed him once. You've talked to him probably a little bit more than me.
Yes, I've had numerous interviews with him, and he is considered by most people in the education community to be really brilliant, very well aligned philosophically with the Moore administration and with the State Board and many of the leaders in education throughout the state, the superintendents, and so forth. Because he has some very progressive ideas, he's really a good tactician in terms of he's put together a really interesting new way, for instance, to decide how to measure poverty at schools. That is new in some places in the states, but really very new to Maryland, and many people think is an exciting idea. He was unable, of course, to get that through the legislature, however. He's come up with some other interesting proposals in the last year. Another one in terms of teaching immigrant kids and dual language programs and so forth. And he's very interested in sort of using education policy to tweak how we do things in Maryland. So that is one of his great strengths, I think. And that's the way he's perceived. I think the problem, everyone says, is that he gets in his own way, that he's not a good manager. He's a micromanager. Critics say that he is nasty to staff, that he's driven away staff who are very well qualified, that he's even driven away staff who he brought to the department. And so the question, and he's had disagreements with the AIB, the Accountability and Implementation Board. I don't think those disagreements are so fundamental that they can't be the relationship couldn't be repaired, but it's a very problematic start.
So if I may, let's talk about the AIB as next. Let's talk about that as a separate issue. But Buzzy Hedlund, when you talk to folks, I mean, it seems to me that as a school's superintendent, Mr. Choudhury has a number of constituencies. The legislature is one of them. His own staff and the folks who work for the Department of Education is another. The superintendents around the schools and the various jurisdictions. I mean, are there any of those constituencies that you would identify as being okay relationally with Mr. Choudhury? Or are there problems with each one of the different groups?
No, I think there are some exceptions to what I consider the general rule that he has not developed good relationships with advocates, legislators, local educators, and so forth. The exceptions are, again, around issues of diversity, equity, and inclusion. There's no question of his passionate commitment, and he has some constituencies there. Liz mentioned he did an excellent job with the English language learners work group that developed some very serious and excellent recommendations. And he has a following there. He seems to have gotten pretty along with the MSEA, the largest teachers union in the state. They're a big player in Annapolis. And at least on the surface, that relationship seems to be okay. But again, otherwise, there is general, discontent. And it even goes, it's strange because he hasn't come forth with many ideas or plans. Let me give you briefly the two things that I work on in my unpaid day job. One is early literacy, the single most important thing that can be done to improve education. You got to teach kids. It's a gateway to all learning. 2 years into his tenure, he has not put forward any plan for early literacy. It's just absolutely puzzling.
So then, is it a matter of priorities being misaligned?
I don't think. I mean, he believes in it, the science of reading, and he put a little money into it through his initiative called Maryland Leads. But I don't know the answer. He just doesn't seem to be able to generate, maybe because he can't let go. When he came into office, there was a work group, I was on it, that was developing early literacy plans and procedures for early interventions. He stopped it.
One of the things he has done, however, in early literacy is he has sort of bribed school systems to adopt the science of reading. And there's only one school system in the state now, Harford County, that isn't going along with that plan. In fact,
bribed is an interesting characterization.
Well, he's what provided money. He said, if you change how you're teaching reading, then we will give you money to buy new materials and to train teachers differently. Actually, my colleague Kristen Griffith and I are writing a series that will come out in the next month or two about the science of reading and how we're teaching kids to read.
This has to do with phonics and that
kind
of stuff, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, when a former employee makes an allegation of a toxic workplace, that's a difficult thing to discern. Who knows what agendas might be in play there? You wrote about this a little bit, Liz, and you spoke with him about it. What's your assessment of these allegations who come from some people who are no longer there and evidently some people who are still there but wanted to remain anonymous? And as you said, even from people who were hired by Mr. Choudhury.
I've actually very rarely in my many years covering education seen such a large number of former employees willing to go on the record. I have 11 letters that were sent to the state board and the governor, and 9 of them were signed. And I think that's pretty remarkable. I'll also add to what Buzzy said. I've had conversations with lots of what we call stakeholders, people who are in different, I don't want to name them, but are in leadership around the state and are not willing to go on the record, but they pretty uniformly have issues with his leadership.
So, Buzzy, let's talk about this AIB, the Accountability and Implementation Board for the Blueprint. Again, remind listeners that you served on the Kerwin Commission. You've been very much in the weeds on this, as you are on all things education, you know, for many years. So what is the relationship between the State Board of Education and this Accountability and Implementation Board?
The Accountability and Implementation Board, AIB, is really a political and educational miracle. There's nothing like it anywhere in this country because it basically says that we can govern what MSDE does. And
that's the Maryland State Department of Education.
Maryland State Department of Education, the Chaudhry heads, and the local education agencies. This was opposed before the Kerwin Commission, before the legislature, by local school boards and local school systems, and they're very powerful players. But it was overridden because the legislative leadership and legislators were extremely angry at MSDE's failures over the years to take effective action to implement reforms. For example, the Thornton program that preceded Kerwin in the early 2000s. MSDE did nothing to implement that. And Mr. Chaudhry's predecessor was regarded as being totally unresponsive. So it was that desperation and anger that led Kerwin Commission and the legislature to put this AIB in over MSDE. That said, as I wrote, AIB can't do its job without MSDE doing its job well. AIB has 15 staff and some consultant money. MSDE's got 1,000 employees and 1 million tentacles into the log. So it was all dependent on good collaboration. We were hopeful that would happen, and it's not happening in the way that it should be happening. Could it be resolved? It certainly could be. Would that be best? Probably. The question is, can Mr. Chaudhry pull it off? Because collaboration is not his thing. What he conveys is that his way is the right way. He's not a good listener. Anybody who's ever met with him, as I have the initial time, he is not a listener.
Well, I'm glad we have listeners who are listening at the moment, and we're going to take a break and come back and give them more to listen to on the other side. The education advocate Buzzy Hettleman and Baltimore Banner reporter Liz Bowie join me here in Studio A. You are welcome to join us as well if you have a take on Mohammed Chaudhry, the superintendent of schools here in Maryland. And generally speaking, if you have a child in the education system, if you yourself are in the education system, the public education system, we'd love to hear your take on how this school year has gone. 410-662-8780. Our email is midday@wipr.org. I'm Tom Hall. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Your Public Radio, 88.1 WYPR.
And welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up on the show tomorrow, Brenda Wintrode of our news partner, the Baltimore Banner, will join me to help us sort out what the rules and regulations around legalized recreational cannabis will be as of July 1, when the new law about marijuana goes into effect. And I'll also speak with Genia Belafonte, a columnist for the New York Times, about the experience that New York has had since cannabis was legalized there. As well, Tremor Wilson, the senior director of Baltimore Pride, will tell us about some of the things that the local LGBTQ community will be doing to celebrate Pride Month. So that's on the way tomorrow here on Midday. If you've just joined us today, it's Midday on Education. My guests are Liz Bowie, the education reporter for the Baltimore Banner, and Buzzy Hedelman, a member of the Kerwin Commission and a longtime education advocate. If you've just joined us, I explained at the top of the show that Mohammed Chaudhry, the state superintendent of schools, had been scheduled to appear on our show today. He accepted our invitation last month, and last night he changed his mind. You are welcome to join our conversation, 410-662-8780, to email us. It's midday@wipr.org. So, Liz Bowie, there seems to be some disagreement between the superintendent's office and much reporting about shortages of staff at the Maryland Department of Education. So the kinds of things that Buzzy's been talking about here, you know, that Mr. Chaudhry may not be a very good listener. He's not a relationship kind of person. He's great on ideas, but he's got some problems sort of interpersonally. It's causing a lot of people to leave. Is that, in fact, the case? When I asked Ms. Frick about it, the deputy media person this morning, she said it's simply not true. There isn't a staff shortage at the Department of Education. How do you sort that out?
Well, the latest data that we had that was pretty recent, like 2 weeks ago, showed that there were 100 vacancies, which is 10% of the workforce. So I don't think they can say there are no vacancies. A year and a half ago, in October of 2022, there was a 20% vacancy rate at the department, which was higher than almost any department in state government, any major state agency.
So, and that indicates that a lot of those people left then during the first year of Mr. Chaudhry's term?
Yeah. I mean, we're not really sure about that because under the Hogan administration, there were high vacancy rates in all the departments. But I think they had started coming down under Moore.
Yeah. And Buzzy Hedelman, you've written, you've talked to literally hundreds of people about this. When it comes to the accountability and implementation board, Liz wrote about how the legislature recently took some money away from the Department of Education because they hadn't received information in a timely manner. Is it because they're missing 100 people? I mean, is it a person power issue, do you think? Is it a matter of bad management or bad performance by some of the people under Mr. Chaudhry? I mean, obviously he doesn't fill out every form.
I think it is partially a vacancy issue, but I think it is also his own persona and way of going about business. He hires a lot of contractuals, and he thinks, again, it comes back to the fact that the staff that he has complains of not being used, that there are areas, and again, I'm fairly familiar because of my work in two of them, literacy and special education, that the staff that are there feel stymied by their inability to be close to and produce what they would like to.
That was the gist of a story in the Baltimore Sun about these federal grants that totaled more than $850,000 that had to be given back to the federal government because they weren't administered correctly. Does that ring true to you? Do you think that that's a valid complaint?
Probably, yes. But, you know, the federal grants are tricky, and I don't want to blame, as one who headed a state agency that lived on federal funds and the way the funds come. That could be true. I don't know that it's true, but that is less of an issue than the fact that the billions of dollars that they have for programs are not being spent as efficiently as they could be, again, mainly because blueprint implementation is stalled.
It's stalled. So it's just, it's slower. We're not on track. We're not on schedule.
Yes. And even the governor has recognized that in his budget message. He complained about lack of cohesion and priorities. And his transition team on education produced a document that's literally got dozens of issues that need to be addressed, in its opinion, relating to the blueprint, including the issue of an, quote, adequacy analysis, which recognizes that the blueprint is currently underfunded.
Well, let's hope they don't do adequacy analyses of talk show hosts. That scares me.
Or would-be pundits.
Yeah, on a fundamental level, that scares me. We're talking about education with Liz Bowie of the Baltimore Banner and Buzzy Hettleman, who is a former member of the Baltimore City School Board. He served two terms in that position. He's also a member of the Kerwin Commission, and he writes frequently about education issues. To join us, we're at 410-662-8780. You can send us an email to midday@wypr.org. Let's go to the phones to Tally, who's on the line in Baltimore City. Welcome to Midday, and thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to talk to you. I'm a Baltimore City Public Schools parent and a PTO president. I have been had the privilege, because I understand the law as a lawyer, to actually read the statute for the blueprint, and I have always had the concern that the entire scheme creates so much opportunity for confusion and for different entities to step on each other's toes that I feared we would get to this place. So I really hope that the bodies that are required to report to the board, the Accountability and Implementation Board, and then the board itself can chart a better path forward. And I also want to say that I think communication is a huge piece that's lacking. Parents in the system that are paying attention are not able and are not getting good information about the status of the blueprint and what we should expect for students that are currently in the system. And I think a lot of parents are worried that their children are not going to benefit from, you know, this really brilliant legislation. So I really appreciate the call and all the coverage that you're giving to public schools. So thank you, Tom.
All right. Well, thank you, Tally. And Liz Bowie, when it comes to communication, is that all of a piece with, you know, the general job that the department is doing these days?
Yes, although it's up to school systems to communicate with their parents about what's going, how the money will be spent. There's a lot of new money coming into school systems right now, and their plans for how that needs to be spent, and it is the job.
Yeah, there's ARPA money, you know, the American Rescue Plan money. There's, you know, post-COVID money. They're talking about clawing back some of that post-COVID money because a lot of places have decided they don't need it.
Right. I mean, over a period of 2 or 3 years, the city schools will get $700 million more dollars. It's very significant. So the public has a good reason to ask how that's being spent.
We have a listener in Washington County, Jeannie, who says, I've watched the superintendent with interest, and his ability to treat people with respect seems incredibly limited. In casual settings, board meetings, and legislative hearings, he's abrasive. He doesn't look people in the eye when it's not his turn to speak, and he constantly seems angry. Given the reports that Governor Hogan, already had left the Maryland State Department of Education with too little staff to function effectively, how can we accept a leader who drives employees away? So, Buzzy Hettleman, the ABI, this accountability board, or the AIB, I guess it is, do they have power? I mean, what is their leverage here? I mean, if they're not getting the cooperation they need, what do they do? Do they go to the legislature and they say, hey, wait a minute, we need to call a timeout? Or what do they do? What's their option?
Legally, and it's actually in the statute, they have the right to oversee what the State Department of Education and local education agencies do. If it comes to the point where there is an absolute stalemate and, in effect, MSDE refuses a mandate of the AIB, then I assume that would go to the General Assembly in some way to take some action against the State Department of Education and the State Board.
And that could just slow stuff down even more.
Yes.
And can you give us an example of, you know, when you say there are things that haven't been implemented that should have been implemented, where should we be in certain places that we're not?
Let me give you, I mentioned early literacy, but the other area in which I'm involved daily, as Liz will remember, is on special education. Mm-hmm. And the blueprint does not contain enough reforms in special education, which is in dire need of them. So the AIB gave a mandate that the State Department of Education should develop a work group along the lines of the English Language Learners Work Group, which was so good. Well, okay, that went over to MSDE. MSDE first said that they didn't need a work group. They had 27 groups. I mean, it's absurd, out there floating. Of course, they had done nothing, or else we wouldn't need the work group to begin with to try to pull all this together. So then, when there was opposition, MSD came back and said, oh, okay, we'll form some kind of group based on what we think. MSDE, that's obviously unacceptable. They are not following the directive, but behind the scenes, I think they're talking about that. I think that may be a first signal as to whether there is going to be an out-and-out confrontation. Ike Leggett, the chair of the AIB, Britt Kerwin, the vice chair, they want to make this work. And I think everybody wants to bend over backwards. And Ike Leggett and Britt Kerwin and the AIB are reasonable folks without any kind of axe to grind. Hopefully, the State Board and the and Mr. Choudhury will see the light. The other thing that's brewing with contract renewal down the road is that Governor Moore has the ability to appoint a near majority of the State Board, which governs Mr. Choudhury. That's 6 out of 14. I think it's 14.
14.
And so if Governor Moore decides that a change is necessary or some kind of pressure has been put on the State Board, which he was, as you mentioned, Tom, is fully supportive of Mr. Choudhury at present, then hopefully that will be the key to resolving this.
But so far, have we heard from the governor on Mr. Choudhury?
No, we haven't.
His opinion one way or the other?
But there are 5 new school board positions that are appointed by Wes Moore, and 4 of them have happened. There's 1 student member, and there are 2 more. I'm sorry, 3 have happened, and there are 2 more who are coming, and those will be made in the next couple weeks.
And this overlaps with the time frame, because by July 1, do I understand correctly, Mr. Choudhury has to make it clear to the board whether or not he wishes to extend his contract.
I think
right?
we know. Right? He told me on the record that he was absolutely intending to stay.
And that's just a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
So that's pretty current.
Right.
Let's go to Sharon in Owings Mills. Sharon, welcome to the show. Perhaps Buzzy Hedelman answered your question, which I understand has to do with special ed. What's your take in that regard?
Well, my take on what's going on in the state, and Buzzy and I have do kind of know each other. My take is that there is way too many complaints coming in and not enough action. It goes back to the school districts, and the students don't seem to get anywhere. I'm an advocate as well as a parent. I work with clients in several counties, most of which is in Baltimore County, and I'm also a parent in Baltimore County, and I'm not seeing any movement in a positive direction. I'm seeing a lot of negative.
Okay. Well, thank you for that perspective, Sharon. I appreciate it. I want to take one more call, and this is Janice, who's in Baltimore County. Janice, welcome to Midday with Buzzy Hedelman and Liz Bowie.
Thank you. My name is Janice Fortner. I live in Baltimore County, but I have been volunteering with fellow volunteers. We're not a nonprofit. We just are advocates, and we've been going in and doing libraries and programs for the children. And my perspective on this is we need more boots on the ground. We need people to get out of their offices and get into these schools and see what's actually happening. I think that the principals and the teachers are overwhelmed with just educating these children, dealing with emotional issues and all these other issues and forms they have to fill out. And I think I don't believe we need North Avenue. I think we need to have those people out in the schools and offices and seeing what goes on. And a lot of these programs sound great on paper, but unless you have people to facilitate it who are in the schools and that's their primary job, it's not going to get done because the teachers and the principals have so much to do. I mean, I've been in basements with wrapped up books and programs and all these different things sitting in the basements. People don't have time for all these things.
Sure. Okay, well, thanks, Janice. I appreciate that perspective and certainly very much appreciate the work that you're doing as a volunteer.
Yeah, parents, it's great. Parents should be in the schools, but you know who should be in the schools? Monitors from the State Department of Education who are looking to see whether programs, the science of reading or special education, are being carried out in the way that they should be. And that is an area in which MSDED has been extremely lax, and that has not picked up at all in the past 2 years.
That's former Baltimore City Board of Education member Buzzy Hedelman. Liz Bowie of the Baltimore Banner is with us. We'll have more with our guests after a quick break. You can join us at 410-662-8780. You can email us midday@wipr.org. We're talking education here on Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.
This is Your Public Radio, 88.1 WYPR.
And welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. If you've just joined us, my guest today was to have been the State Superintendent of Schools, Mohammed Chaudhry. And last night, after receiving a list of topics that I'd proposed we talk about, he decided he would not appear on Midday today. The offer to have him as a guest stands, and we hope that he will join us at some point. You are welcome to join us right now if you'd like. 410-662-8780 if you want to call or email midday@wipr.org. My guests are Buzzy Hedelman, who has written thoughtfully about the blueprint for Maryland's future and other education topics. He's a member of the Kerwin Commission and a former Baltimore City Board of Education member. And Liz Bowie, the education reporter for our news partner, the Baltimore Banner. So we talked about staff shortages, Liz, at the Department of Education. There's also a teacher shortage statewide. We've talked about this with Sonia Sonalesis, with Darryl Williams, who's the outgoing superintendent of the Baltimore County Public Schools. There are some jurisdictions that have, you know, hundreds and hundreds of teacher openings. Where does that stand? Has that leveled off? Do you have the sense that jurisdictions are able to find people willing to enter the profession and find people willing to stay?
I think it's an ongoing problem. I think we'll find out really shortly when they start announcing how many vacancies they have for teachers. It isn't until July 1 that everybody has to actually say, okay, I am or I'm not staying for next year. And I think that's going to be a real challenge. I think there have been some changes by the legislature to this year to help out in the teacher shortage. They're offering more scholarships to students in college who want to become teachers, and some other incentives, and hopefully that kicks in.
And Buzzy Hedelman, it's an interesting time. There's a shortage of teachers, which is causing a lot of school systems to get people who aren't necessarily certified as education experts. They're not certified as teachers. They come from private business or the public sector, but they're given a job, and then they have a couple of years to get some credits to certify them as teachers. So you've got that track, and then at the same time, you have the Kerwin Commission, which you served on, the recommendations to greatly increase the salaries and frankly the prestige of being a teacher, so that it attracts the kinds of people that now are perhaps going into law or medicine or other more lucrative, what are currently more lucrative professions. So how's the tension between that? You've got some people that they're grabbing off the street because they really need people in these classrooms, but then they're trying to, enhance the profession as well.
Like everything else, it ain't easy. The two parts to it, compensation, and that's a big issue in the blueprint. I have a word to say about that. But the thing I want to emphasize is the best way to address teacher shortages is to give teachers more job satisfaction. So until they're given the resources, the class sizes, the resource teachers, the special teachers to support them, that's going to be a big impediment. When you get to compensation, the blueprint does a great job of getting salaries up to $60,000, but that was 5 years ago, and salaries are going up all across the country, and so the $60,000 is not the big deal that it seemed at that time. And so as part of the underfunding issue, which goes to teachers and so forth, I think that's going to have to be revisited too.
I think one of the big issues for teachers right now is behavior of students in the classroom and the ongoing effects of the pandemic. It's really an immense problem, and kids are just not behaving the way they did, and the discipline is really a problem.
Yeah, I hear about classroom management issues. I've also heard from some friends who are in the education business, both as practitioners and as people who are teaching in education departments, that the teachers who were forced to change the way they taught during COVID, having to go online and to do all this stuff, and to adjust the way they are teaching, particularly if they're towards the end of their career, they're just hanging it up early because they're saying, I don't want to learn all this new stuff.
Right.
It's a burnout issue. So that's a real problem. The test scores, Buzzy Hedelman and Liz, wrote about this a lot, but generally speaking, in the last couple of years under, Mohammed Chaudhry's tenure as superintendent, have the test scores, given that we're in a post-COVID era now, do they surprise you? Do they shock you? Do they scare you? What do they do?
Hopefully Liz knows better than I that deep into the test scores. But my general impression is, test scores went down nationally, math, reading, precipitously. They're coming back some. My impression is that Maryland has just been in the pack with that there's been no particular improvement in our low standing, which is...
Yeah, and Liz, in terms of the graduation rate of high school, Maryland was at 86%. Around the country, the lowest was 74%, the highest was 94%. So we're kind of right in the middle there. But math in particular, and you've written about this, is a real challenge for Maryland students.
Right. There was a really bad drop in math scores in the last round of testing a year ago. And I think everybody will be watching carefully to see what the new results are from this past May's administration of the tests. For instance, last year, so that would have been the test given in May of 2022, only 22% of students across the state were able to pass the math test. 22%, not even a quarter. It's a hard test, but something really is wrong. That comes after years of Maryland really having lower than average test scores and nothing changing. And I think that there's a growing consensus among both leadership in the state, but also school superintendents. At least I know Sonia Santelises is very concerned about that.
She's the CEO of the Baltimore City Schools.
Right. And I think there you will see in this summer some attempts to really change how we teach math in the state or to look more closely at it.
not just this summer. I mean, summer learning is very important for struggling students, but the evidence shows that in school during the school year, interventions are much more effective. And we have the same problem in Maryland, in the city and across the state, where we don't have systems, fancy name, RTI, response to intervention, where you have systematic frameworks. When a kid is behind in kindergarten in reading or math, we go in there with timely interventions. And if you don't do that, particularly in literacy, the data shows they never catch up. So that's where we need systems that will deal with that problem.
But Liz, you're talking about just as with reading and literacy, going back to phonics training. I know when I was a child, I learned phonics, and that's how I became a reader. There's a new way of teaching math?
I don't know. I think that somebody should be asking the question of, are we teaching math correctly in Maryland? Do we have it down right? Because we're not getting results.
Yeah, we got to turn it around. Let's see if we can sneak one more call in. Let's go to Dave in Harford County. Welcome to Midday. Thanks for calling.
Well, and thank you for having me. So I guess my question would come to, you know, the districts have the responsibility for implementation of their individual programs, and the state's got the overarching accountability. Our students already do take a lot of these tests on a regular basis, and a lot of times devoted toward that opposed to instruction. What happens to, you know, create some form of accountability when we see that we have test scores that are declining in, you know, various areas? Like, can you speak to that and how that data is used?
Well, Buzzy, I mean, that accountability is kind of shared, isn't
well,
it?
Well, yes. Accountability must be shared. It must be a partnership between the locals and the state. The state should set statewide floor, not ceiling, standards, which it hasn't done. And that leaves locals lots of discretion and judgment that they can use. So
yeah, I know, for example, Liz Bowie, when Sonia Sonalisis has been on the show this year, she's talked about tutors. Tutoring seems to be a fundamental dimension of what the city is doing, just basically taking one kid at a time and saying, you know, let's sit you down and figure out how to do this. So that's expensive.
It is expensive, and that's how the city has used a lot of their ARPA or ESSER funding, the funding that came from the federal government, to provide individual tutors to students, because it's actually showed, research has shown, it's a really effective way of catching kids up. But it'll have to end at some point.
Yeah, yeah, because, I mean, ARPA's one-time deal. Yeah. And, Buzzy, I want to point people to a piece that you just published today in Maryland Matters about the need for a Blueprint 2.0. You're saying that already, before the whole thing's even been implemented, it's time to revise it. Just in our last 20 seconds, tell us highlights.
It's been 5 years and lots of cracks in the structure have shown up, and they affect accountability, they affect funding, they affect implementation, and I hope Annapolis is paying attention.
That's the education advocate Buzzy Hettleman, and Liz Bowie is with us as well from the Baltimore Banner. Thank you both. Really appreciate it, and we will talk again soon, I hope.
Enjoy the conversation.
Thanks a lot.
And that's it for us today. Tomorrow, a conversation about what we can expect when recreational use of cannabis is legalized next month. My guests will be Brenda Wintrode of the Baltimore Banner and Genia Belafonte of the New York Times. Plus, we'll have a conversation with Tremor Wilson, the senior director of Baltimore Pride. Here and Now is up next after news at the top of the hour, so stick around. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
You're listening to Your Public Radio, 88.1 WYPR.